to shattering this if you'd like to join this discussion, even if you want to justify your conspiracies. Don't expect a warm reception, but nonetheless, the toll-free number is 877-300-7645. I'm going to continue with the story we were covering yesterday about the difference between the Israeli and the Muslim response to killing. This article, it was from the Washington Post, says that human rights advocates have long warned of an alarming rise in anti-Arab vandalism and vigilante attacks carried out by Jewish extremists. Yeah, it's because that most human rights advocates are anti-Semitic. There isn't a human rights advocate that is devoted to talking about the 250 million Muslim little girls that have been sexually mutilated by their parents, or the tens of thousands that die every year as Muslim honor killings, or the fact that Islam promotes 99.9% of the world's terrorist acts. That in any Islamic country, there are no human rights, but yet the human rights advocates, they don't seem to give a hoot about any of that stuff. No, they don't like the fact that Israeli settlers will occasionally write graffiti on the wall of a mosque. Yeah, man. Well, we ought to focus on that because, wow, that's vandalism. By the way, do you have any idea how we got the English word vandalism? It's a derivative of the Latin, because the Vandals came in and they destroyed Rome. And so the Vandals' destruction of Rome is how we got the basis of vandalism. There is very little vandalism promoted by Jews. It's just not their thing. Vandalism promoted by Muslims, ubiquitous. Just go into an Islamic slum and see what they do to their own. Or take a picture tour through Syria or Iraq, any Islamic country. What this is trying to do is to create a moral equivalency, is to say, yeah, you know, this the killing of the Muslim boy is part of a major trend in Israel. No, it's not. Not even close. And this notion that it is, which is so much ingrained into the media, just shows how adverse to the truth, how incapable of rational thought those are who write for and speak for the world's major media outlets. Such incidents are referred to by their perpetrators as price tag for what they see as the Israeli concessions to the Palestinians. I'm going to tell you that they don't view there even exists a Palestinian because they know better. Of course, the journalist who wrote this story doesn't know better. Price tag is because they're taggers. This would be to say that the Hispanic and gang members, not always the same. There are Hispanics that are not gang members, but most graffiti is written by either African American or Hispanic gang members, tagging their territory. That the tagging is to be compared with the rest of their behavior, which is often murderous, which is engaged in the selling and promotion of poisons. They're taggers. And they're taggers because they want the mosque to be identified with the terror and the death and the destruction that it is inspiring. It's not inappropriate. But to infer that this is somehow morally equivalent to Muslims perpetrating 99% of the world's terrorist acts, to being riotous, to being destructive, to being deadly, to being vicious, says that whoever wrote this article and whoever reads this article thinking the author is conveying an important insight has lost the capacity to think rationally. Muhammad's killing Wednesday went far beyond most such attacks and its raw brutality. Oh, come on. Went far beyond. They're comparing here, tagging a mosque, writing on the mosque, murderer. Well, that's a true statement. It ought to be tagged. And I'm a firm believer of use your words. To associate the Islamic mosque with terror is vital. It's accurate. But to say that the killing was part of the mindset of the tagging and went far beyond the tagging, I mean, come on. What's wrong with people today? Some Israeli officials had speculated that the slaying was the result of a family dispute amid disbelief that it could be revenge for the deaths of the three Israelis. And by the way, we don't really know if it was revenge for the deaths of the three Israelis. We just know that somewhere between three and five people, different accounts have different numbers. I think the latest is three people. And between the ages of 15 and 25, were rendered somehow incapable of exercising moral judgment and perpetrated a heinous crime. They've been caught. They will be prosecuted. They'll pay a price. There are such murderers in every society. The difference is that this murder was not state-sponsored. It wasn't religiously inspired. Huge difference. And to try to infer, as this article from the Washington Post is doing, that there is a correlation between tagging a mosque, writing on a mosque in spray paint, murderers, terrorists, which is an accurate depiction of what is inspired by that mosque, and murder are in the same realm. You know, the difference here is that the government and the religion of the Muslims encourages, celebrates death. The terrorist and the Islamic culture become heroes. They are known as martyrs. Their parents are told that they've done Allah's work and they're sitting in Allah's paradise being entertained by the perpetual virgins, swimming in rivers of wine. They're celebrated. They're honored. And yet in the Israeli society, they're hunted down. They're condemned. They're disgraced. They're incarcerated. They're punished. They're rebuked. One society is moral. The other is immoral. We can't compare these things, which is what the Washington Post is trying to do. Moral equivalency. They go on to say this is a shock for most Israeli Jews. I think it's kind of a wake-up call, Israeli Justice Minister Sapenzi Livni said in an interview on Sunday evening. This is something that will change the way people think. It will lead to a better understanding that we need to act when we see even the smallest signs of incitement, whether it be on the internet sites or price tag attacks. Oh, good grief. You know, Israelis are their own worst enemy. Yahweh says this routinely, that Jews, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You corrupt my testimony. You say stupid things. You act immorally. You brought this hell upon yourselves. It's true. The Israeli Justice Minister's statements are as bad, if not worse, than the statements written and conveyed by the Washington Post. When you equate incitement, you know, for example, Prophet of Doom, which isn't down because Muslims have essentially destroyed the site. When Prophet of Doom correctly attributes Islamic terrorism to Islam and uses the Islamic source material to prove that Islam is a declaration of war against all humankind, that the religion is deplorable in any rational way, any moral way. That's not designed to incite violence against Muslims. It's designed to help Muslims that are willing to question the religion to discard the religion before it forever scars them. It encourages those who are not Muslim to recognize that so long as Islam is tolerated in their midst, there will continue to be terror, death, destruction. It's written to inspire thought and rational conclusions and moral responses. But a website in Israel based upon Livni's comments, the justice minister, that inflamed Muslim feelings because it dared to tell the truth about Muhammad, that he was a rapist and pedophile and terrorist and mass murderer, an avowed liar, as was his God, that won't be tolerated. He has to be shut down for fear that people might react violently as opposed to thoughtfully. And that they have to harshly prosecute those who would tag a mosque, because identifying the mosque as a source of terror, according to this rule of thought, would lead to murder. And it's, the reason Israel is in this pickle is because Israel has not had the character to tell the truth. Israel is afraid, deadly afraid, of associating the terror that is being perpetrated against them with Islam. They won't do it. And so long as Israel is incapable and unwilling to expose and condemn Islam as the source of this terror, of this death and destruction, then there is no hope for a resolution. I mean, well, I understand why Israel is striking back at the rocket launchers and Hamas. They would be vastly more effective if they would strike back using words against Islam. Wake up, Israel. Don't be your own biggest enemy. The moron in the Israeli, head of the Israeli Justice Department, it's no wonder that justice no longer is served in probably any country in the world, said the conflict is not just between the Israelis and the Palestinians, so he's not smart enough to know that there's no such thing as a Palestinian. It's also between Israel and between different Israeli citizens. And this is what worries me the most. Yes, he's worried the most about Israeli citizens. Come on. If you were to take all of the nationalistic murders of Israeli citizens over the last decade, you might have 10. If you were to take the murders perpetrated for religion and politics by the mythical people known as the Palestinians, you'd have 1,000 times that. Why would you worry about, and I don't even know if you'd have 10 to 10,000. Why would you be most worried about a people who have historically been the victims of Islamic terrorism, as opposed to the perpetrators of that terrorism? If your justice minister is more concerned about the handful of people in your country that are prone to display animosity towards Muslims, then you are against the Muslims who wish to destroy your country, killing every Jew, wiping you off the face of the map. You ought not be a justice minister. If you are that jaundiced, if you are that misguided, you ought not open your mouth. visiting the home of one of the Israeli teens slain last month after being abducted in the West Bank. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that that Mohammed's killers would face the full weight of the law, and they are. But he also called on the Palestinian Authority, which controls, and they shouldn't be using the term. I mean, Netanyahu has delivered speeches on the fact that there is no such thing as a Palestinian or Palestine. And so why in the world does he use the term when he knows the term is historically inaccurate, genetically inaccurate, politically inaccurate, religiously inaccurate, which controls some areas of the West Bank, to go after the killers of the Israelis, just as the Israelis went after the killer of Mohammed. And, of course, they're unwilling to do so. I know that in our society, the society of Israel, there is no place for such murderers. And that's the difference between us and our neighbors. They consider murderers to be heroes. Meanwhile, rocket fire from militants in the Gaza Strip, fundamentalist Muslims is what it should say, continued unabated after Israel carried out 10 airstrikes early Sunday. Good God. Good God. Let me read that again to you. And you tell me why I'm saying good grief. Meanwhile, rocket fire from militants in the Gaza Strip continued unabated after Israel carried out 10 airstrikes on Sunday. I don't know who the anti-Semite, nincompoop, grotesquely immoral scumbag is that composed this article for the Washington Post, or why a less enlightened, even more immoral editor allowed it to be printed this way. But you got your facts wrong. Israel did not strike first. The rockets were not a retaliation to Israel strikes on Hamas. Hamas sent the rockets, 30 of them, then 50 of them, then 100 of them. And Israel responded to where the rockets had been fired. If you don't understand cause and effect, attack and response, if you are so jaundiced that you want to turn around the cause, the order of events, to make it look like the rockets were being fired in response to Israeli airstrikes, as opposed to the Israeli airstrikes were a response to Hamas firing the rockets, then you ought not be employed by the Washington Post. I mean, there's something seriously wrong with your entire mentality. You're a liar. You're an advocate of those who terrorized. You're scum, as is your newspaper. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. We'll be back in a moment. And I'll put this in perspective. In Syria, hundreds of thousands of innocent people have been murdered. Hundreds of thousands of innocent women have been raped. People have been tortured to death by the tens of thousands. In Nigeria, Boko Haram has kidnapped many hundreds of little girls, some as young as 5 years old. They've raped them. They've tortured them. They've murdered them. They've gone into community after community and burned every home. And yet, in Israel, enraged Muslims who have nothing better to do than to express their stupidity riot when one Muslim is killed. Now, they didn't care. In fact, they celebrated when three Israelis were kidnapped and killed. But kill one Muslim and we're going to go berserk. We're going to start throwing sticks and stones and Molotov cocktails and pipe bombs. We're going to be destructive. We're going to be enraged. We're going to riot. Where's the riots against the kidnapped and raped, copped children, little girls in Egypt? Where's the rage against what Islam has done in the Central African Republic, and Mali, Nigeria, Libya, Egypt, Syria, Iraq? Where's the rage? Where's the sense of anger at the constant onslaught of this despicable religion? And, you know, it's a shame that Muhammad was killed. Now, his life was worthless. He was coming home from the mosque. He had already been corrupted beyond hope. He would have, in good time, turned into the same kind of moronic jihadist that we see of Muslims all around the world. But why would you riot when the Israelis not only found the perpetrators, and not only have incarcerated the perpetrators, not only have denounced the perpetrators, but are going to put them through their judicial system, and those perpetrators will never see the light of day? Why would you riot? Why wouldn't you celebrate that? That the people have been held accountable. And yet instead you riot. Why? Because you're morons. Why? Because you got nothing else to do. Why? Because since Islam was incapable of making life worth living, you strive to die, proving that it has some validity. This article from the BBC said violence which rocked annexed Arab East Jerusalem. Annexed Arab East Jerusalem? Excuse me, there's no association between Jerusalem and Arabs. There's no association between Jerusalem and Muslims. But there's a long history of Jerusalem and Yehudim, Israelites and Yahweh. For four straight days after the kidnap and murder of the Palestinian teenager on Wednesday spread to over half a dozen Arab towns in Israel on Saturday. Why don't you try to find a half a dozen Jewish towns in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq, in Iran, in Egypt? If Jews are occupying and Israeli land, if they're depriving Arabs of their rights, why don't you tell me why it is then that there are Arab towns in Israel and there are no Jewish towns in any Islamic country? The initial results of a postmortem found that the 16-year-old boy is likely burned alive. That's not true. It's not true. And the BBC knows it's not true. There was a Palestinian individual, a Muslim, in attendance overlooking the autopsy that was performed by the Israelis. The Israelis didn't say that he was burned alive. There was a little bit of ash in his throat, and so the Muslim decided to incite riots by saying that he was burned alive. And there's a lot of reasons that he could have been killed and then his body burned that have nothing to do with him being burned alive. And if, by the way, I would agree that being burned alive is a horrible way to go. But it's something that Muslims have done to non-Muslims, and particularly Jews, for a long time. And it is better than having your head sawed off over a slow, agonizing period of time, which is what Muslims do routinely. And they talk about killing by Jewish extremists. A 15-year-old kid and a 25-year-old young person and one other between those ages. You know, that probably said, I'll show those Muslims for all they have done to get at us. And you know, it's the product of broken conscience, an inability to be moral. You don't fight fire with fire. The enemy of my enemy is not my friend. You don't give to people what they have given to you. When you find a vicious foe that is motivated by their government, that is motivated by their religion, that is celebrated by their society for perpetrating the vast preponderance of terrorist acts against you and the rest of the world, you aren't going to prevail by becoming a terrorist. You aren't going to prevail against murderers by being a murderer. It just is not going to work. If you want to prevail against a mindset that is promoted, that is deadly and destructive and promotes terrorism, that is being inspired by the society, the religion, the culture, the politics, the government of a group of people, then you need to expose and condemn the mindset, the religion. That's the only thing that'll work. Around 35 people were arrested the first night of the riots, almost half of them minors, children. That's why I said that 16-year-old boy, you know, it's a shame he was killed because there's no indication that he was perpetrating or participating in the riots. It's quite different than the American lad that was over spending his summer vacation rioting against Jews. Yeah, he was kicked in the face. And that was inappropriate once he was down. But I'm telling you, that man was involved in the riots. He was throwing stones, Molotov cocktails, and pipe bombs. You know, he earned his fate. You don't do that kind of stuff. When people are trying to restrain you with rubber bullets, you don't throw pipe bombs at them and Molotov cocktails and expect them to kiss you and caress you to the ground. You know, he was not an unarmed combatant. He was a combatant. He's lucky he's not dead. That was what he wanted to do to the Israelis, just kill them. But what is it with Islam that is so corrosive that young people are its most ardent, most vicious antagonists? That young boys are motivated to become jihadists. Why? Because the religion promotes the sex that they and the peace that they can't achieve in this world while they're living in an Islamic society. It gives them an escape. They're promised that if they're killed, killing Jews, that, oh, they'll get the multiple virgins in paradise and the rivers that flow with wine. They will finally find the happiness that they cannot find in this world. And yet they're not smart enough to recognize that a God who would say, if you kill in my cause and are killed murdering others in my cause, that is a great deed. And it's the way to promote my religion is to tell the world that you either surrender to my religion or I will kill you. That such a God is credible when he promises you paradise for being a mass murderer and terrorist. You just got to be an idiot. I don't feel sorry for them. Of the 22 that were arrested as youths, most were arrested in and around the northern city of Nazareth, the most populous Arab town in Israel. The rest were arrested in Taibi and the north and the triangle region around Tel Aviv, where clashes continued through the weekend. Quote, we are demonstrating against this incitement to hatred by some Israelis online who are saying death to Arabs. One demonstrator in the triangle town of near Tel Aviv told the army radio. Also, you're rioting because some Israelis are saying online, death to Arabs. And yet the common slogan of Muslims for almost 1,400 years has been death to Jews. So it's okay for you to say death to Jews. Oh, that's godly. That's Islamic. But if a Jew responds online and says death to Arabs, oh, then you ought to riot. Come on. Wake up. Not only has Islam inspired the slogan death to Jews for better part of 1400 years, it has acted upon it. Israel has not. Jerusalem, CNN. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Monday spoke with the father of the Palestinian teenager who died, expressing shock at what he calls an abhorrent murder. Even CNN went to the point that he was burned alive, when all that is speculation. But think of that. Did you think that the head of Hamas went to and called the families of the Israelis that they murdered? Imagine that. The leader of Israel meets with the father of the killed teenager and says that the perpetrators will be dealt with to the fullest extent of the law. And then he orchestrates an investigation, finds them, incarcerates them, indicts them. And you compare that to Hamas and the PLO. You imagine the Hamas leader going to the mother and father of the Israelis that they killed and say, oh, you know, we're so sorry, but a heinous crime. We'll not only find the perpetrator, but we'll arrest them and prosecute them and hold them accountable. But well, what did Hamas say? No, what they did against the Jews was great. We celebrate it. They're martyrs for the cause. They're heroes. And doing everything they can to keep them from justice. And the difference is night and day. The difference is light and darkness. The difference is good and evil. The difference is Islam. And that which is not infected by Islam. Now, of course, the tendency was to say that the difference between Islam and Judaism. And while reason I can't say that is, well, Judaism is vastly superior to Islam, but, you know, so is everything vastly superior to Islam. Judaism's not good. The teen's father told CNN Monday that he did not recall speaking with Netanyahu. That's just great. In other words, the father is if he's saying, you know, the Jews are horrible, Jews are miserable, the Jews killed my boy, that day he's a hero in the Islamic world. But if he acknowledges that the president of Israel called him, expressed his condolences, and said the people who did this will be held accountable, no, can't talk about that. I'll lie about that. I don't recall it. He said, I spoke with a lot of people. I don't remember if Netanyahu was among them. The Israeli police announced a confession in the killing of an Israeli Jewish teen a month ago. Remember, I shared this with you a couple days ago. Shelley Dadon, 19. Pretty girl. Sweet-looking girl. She was kidnapped and stabbed to death by a Muslim taxi driver. No one seems to care. I didn't hear one comment from the U.S. State Department and say, you know, Muslims, Fatah, Hamas, you ought to be ashamed of yourself for kidnapping and stabbing to death that beautiful little girl. Didn't hear one peep. No abomination, no State Department, no nothing. In the Knesset, Israel's parliament, lawmakers unanimously condemned the deaths of all five young people, four Israeli Jews and a Palestinian teen. There's no such thing as a Palestinian, but nonetheless. The family is also irate over the treatment by Israeli police of one of the victim's cousins, an American high school student. This is the American nincompoop, whose moronic parents, Muslims, of course, their mom even wears the Islamic garment around her head so that she says, hey, I'm abused. Tariq Abu Qadir, a 15-year-old high school sophomore from Florida, says he was brutally beaten. He was kicked twice while being detained amid protests over his cousin's death. Well, I shared with you, too, that to say that it was his cousin's death is not to say much in Islam. Their interbreeding is such that most of them are related. And, yeah, he was engaged in the protests. He was rioting. That's why he was kicked twice. Qadir, who was in Jerusalem to visit the family during his summer vacation, was released on bail Sunday. Yeah, because why? He was rioting. He was trying to kill Israelis. The magistrate court ordered that he stay under house arrest for 9 days at a relative's house in a different neighborhood from his family home. We're extremely concerned that he's under house arrest right now without really facing any legitimate charges that have been made public. Yeah, he was rioting. He was trying to kill Jews. He was throwing pipe bombs. He was throwing Molotov cocktails. He was throwing rocks. Who beat him apparently are walking free. That's not true. The Israeli that kicked him is now detained, and they're reviewing his actions. We'll be back.